Two Guys in the Morning right here on C101. That is Dan Rios. I'm Rex Gabriel. And Dan, you know, I was kind of inspired this morning because I knew we were going to be talking to my long lost buddy, Fred Myers. Uh-huh. And I posted a photo from the year that Fred and I met in radio. Cool. Fred, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So you were actually part of C101 before I was part of C101. You were already visiting program directors and pushing records and stuff like that. But your official title, because they always called you like record guys. So what were you, like record promotional guy? What was your official title?
Record schlepper. No, actually, I had two rounds with C101. One was when I was with Warner Brother Records in 1980.
Wow.
And then the second round was with Virgin Records in 1991 through 1998.
And that's sort of when you would you'd come into the... I remember you coming into the radio station, and back then you guys were allowed to take us all on like lunches and dinners and stuff, and then you'd tell us about the album, and we'd sometimes get to hear parts of it and whatnot. It was just such a fantastic time to be alive in radio.
Yeah, in fact, I have this podcast called Promotion Man, and a promotion man was just that. That was our title. When you worked for a major record label, they had reps, promotion reps, and it was men or women that would go out to all the radio stations and try to get the songs of these brand new bands on the radio, or even the superstar bands, but anything that was signed to your label, that was your responsibility. So I have a great story for everybody about C101, because I don't know if your listeners really realize what an important radio station C101 is to the whole music scene, because you have to look at it this way. Major radio stations like Los Angeles and New York and Denver and Houston, Dallas, they may not play a brand new record right away because they want to make sure that there's something there.
Yeah.
So my story with you guys at C101 is there was this band that Warner Brothers had signed called U2.
Heard of them. Yeah, heard of them.
Yep. Yep. And they had their lead track was called I Will Follow. And the game that I used to play, and I used to take so much pride in it, was in my territory, which at that time was Southern Texas, was how many radio stations could I get on a brand new song when it first comes out?
Okay.
And in that particular week that we released U2, I Will Follow, in 1980, there were three radio stations in the country to add the song. And that's what it was called, an add to the playlist. So one station was a big station in Boston called WBCN. And then another one in my territory, KLBJ FM up in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third station in the country that week was C101.
Oh, that's awesome. And so
word had it that you guys, I mean, started the Police. I mean, you started a lot of bands that I don't think the C101 listeners really realize.
Yeah, I don't think people really realize that back then you were, and I don't mean any disrespect at all. back in the early 90s, you were just as big a cartoon character as I was, because you would come to town with just such a crazy, flamboyant promotional style. Of course, you remember your stunt at being the Pope. I mean, this is back when I showed up to the radio station on Leopard, and there was an RV parked out front. And as I pull in, there's a guy standing there completely dressed as the Pope.
Really?
With the big, he had like the big, what was it that Lenny Kravitz had that you were promoting?
All right, so let me tell you the story.
Oh my God.
As a promotion man, you had to try to separate yourself from the pack.
Oh, you did. So, you did. What do you think shaved head and bicycle shorts is all about? You know, I bought two houses with that.
So what happened was you kind of look for a theme, right?
Yeah.
So in this particular case, I was with Virgin Records, and Lenny Kravitz had a track called Heaven Help. So I remember going to my pastor at church, and I said, hey, I want those those wafer things that stick on the roof of your mouth. I need some of those.
those tiny flat rice cakes.
Yeah,
those with no flavor.
The roof of your mouth all
yeah.
the time.
They call it the body of Christ. Commonly.
City's kind of named after
it. It's really good with. They're really great with hummus. I don't know why they never served them that way.
So he says to me, he says, "Look, I don't even want to know what you're doing with these." And so he gave them to me. And then I went to a costume shop and I got a Pope's outfit. And I had my intern, who actually had a full beard, wear a nun's outfit. And then the RV, you know, Lenny's like the ultimate hippie, right? So the RV had these beads that you had to, like, open up to pass through to get in.
Oh, God.
There was a booth in there in the RV, so I had a lava lamp, like, glopping, and then, of course, I had a CD player, and I had tapestries on the wall. And at the very same time, we were releasing an album by Janet Jackson called Janet that hadn't been out yet.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
and as a promotion man, you would get advances. I would get advances on stuff 2-3 months ahead of the public so that we could figure out what our singles would be. So I decide to drive this RV. And then I had posters on the side of the RV that said, "Are You Gonna Go My Way?" and Lenny Kravitz. So we do 1,000 miles and 22 radio stations in a week.
Oh.
And what I would do is I pulled up to the C101 parking lot.
I'll never forget that.
I found
that.
You, and I think I found Tim Parker and a couple other people.
Yeah.
And the deal was that you had to come into the RV, listen to Heaven Help, and I would bless you with this wafer.
Oh, I was blessed. Yeah, right there in the RV. I'll never forget. I've got that photo somewhere. I've got to dig that out of the archives.
Oh, hilarious. I wish you would, because we did it. So here's the skinny. With everybody really loving classic rock, and who wouldn't? Because, you know, you have to look. 1969 was 50 years ago. That's when Woodstock. Well, in 1969, there was a plethora of amazing albums that came out that we still listen to this very day.
Oh, yeah.
So what I thought I would do is set up a platform for promotion people like myself that we could tell these stories to your listeners, because they're funny stories. I mean, I have so many crazy stories. And so the podcast that we launched worldwide on Monday is called Promotion Man.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on all the feeds. And we actually have over 500 people in England. We got people in Munich and Paris and the Philippines. So it's already taking off quite well. But the whole point was tell these backstories of these bands, that before they became superstars. So I have to ask you guys, remember back in the day when there was a band called Quarter Flash? I think they had one hit called Harden My Heart.
I'm going to hide my heart, I'm going to swallow
that one,
tears.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to tell you a story about how Sammy Hagar won't talk to me anymore, because Sammy was a solo artist, and I think his album was Standing Hampton or something.
Yeah.
And then we had Quarter Flash. And I had a wicked cold. I mean, one of those, like, wicked ones. And I was staying at the hotel down there right on the bay.
Yeah, like the Omni or something.
And I had two bands. I had Sammy Hagar and I have Quarter Flash. And I have to take them both to different functions. But I had a in-store back when there was record stores.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the Sound Warehouse. And so Quarter Flash were going to sign autographs. So I felt like what I should have done, now I'm looking back, because I'm kind of bummed that Sammy's mad at me, but I should have gotten one of my Warner Brother bosses to come help me, but I didn't, in hindsight. So Sammy had to bring himself to C101, which is why he doesn't talk to me anymore, and I picked the wrong horse because I picked Quarter Flash, but the truth is they had to do it. Autograph signing at the Sound Warehouse, so, you know, that was my deal there.
So Sammy got to drive himself to the radio station, and Quarter
Flash was
ushered around like real rock stars over to the...
In a limo. Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you, one of my mistakes when I first got my job, when I first got my job, I was 22 years old. It was 1978.
Wow.
And my first week on the job, Warner Brothers had just signed this brand new band called Van Halen. And they put him out on tour with Ronnie Montrose, which was another Warner Brother band. But there was another brand new band stuck in the middle called Journey.
Mm.
So it was Van Halen opening for Journey, who was opening for Montrose.
How
and
weird.
And I think everybody knows the track Rock Candy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So my first day on the job was a Monday. Well, Van Halen's in Detroit on Thursday. But that Monday, I had the Blitz, the brand new Van Halen album. And a Blitz means you pack a suitcase and you go to every single rock and roll radio station in your territory, kind of like my Pope trip.
Sure.
But without the outfit, you know, and you're yeah. and you're running around trying to get everybody to play this new Van Halen record. So when I get them into my town, I forgot to get a limo. I just, you know, it's brand new and I just forgot. So they all get in my car. So I got Van Halen in my car. We go, they're hungry, so we go to McDonald's. We get some burgers. And then we go to a radio interview, and it was utter chaos. Alex decided that he wanted to show everybody how he could drink his Switch malt liquor without hands. So he's got his head cocked back, and he's trying to guzzle this thing. It's going all over. And the poor DJ's going, stay away from my electronics, man. Yeah. And David is usually the one doing all the talking on the interview. But the funniest part of this story was, you know, we had a great interview, but it was total chaos. I'm sure when we left the station, the on-air DJ was like, what just happened, wow. right? But I put it, so we're back in my car, and we go to the record store to sign autographs. So we pull into the store, and the parking lot's packed, and it's just absolutely packed. So I'm driving really slow across the front, and there's this beautiful girl on her way into the entrance. And I flag her down and say, come here. And she does, and she's so perturbed because I stopped her from her destination.
Mm.
And I said, what's going on here? And she goes, I can't talk to you right now. Van Halen's, you know, here, and just leaves. And the band just starts cracking up. They just absolutely...
We're in the car. That's great.
They were right there. All she had to do was stick her head in the car, and she would have seen all of them because they're in my car.
Just to give you the time of day. So your radio stories are really, tell you the truth, you could have written some massive book, and it's amazing how now podcasts and iHeartRadio has a ton of podcasts and. You know, Dan and I have things that we, you know, cheat and call a podcast, which are more like bits from the show and whatnot. But your stuff really very easily could have been a book had it been 10 years ago and no one knew much about podcasting then. Do you feel a little cheated that you didn't get to write a big, thick, crazy book? Or do you feel more comfortable just recording and with L.A. Lloyd and partnering up like that and releasing a podcast?
All right, I'm going to tell you guys what's going on, and, you know, because I love you guys and you're friends of mine. I wrote a manuscript a year and a half ago, and on my way to meet with a ghostwriter, I can write, but when you really want to do it correctly, you hook up with an author who assists you and helps you to deliver your story.
Sure, to get the right and flow, to get the peaks and the valleys correct, that kind of thing.
All of that. And, yeah. and then, of course, they have, you know, and so the guy I was going to see in New York, his name is Ellis Hennekin, and he's written about 15 bestsellers. In fact, his next book that's coming out, like, soon, is about the boys who were stuck in that cave in Thailand last year.
Okay.
So I was on my way to go see him, and a buddy of mine read the manuscript, and he goes, oh, my God, dude, this is like the movie Almost Famous. He said, hold on. And so literally, that was a year and a half ago. Literally today, I'll be on a conference call tomorrow. There's a group of eight of us. Every Wednesday, next Wednesday, we get on a conference call because we're pitching a Netflix type of series.
Oh, great.
A weekly series. And so we literally have a Hollywood producer. We've got what they call a treatment or a Bible that is what you do when you pitch to big time people.
Oh, that is awesome.
And then I'm actually leaving for New York in about 3 weeks to finally sign all my paperwork with the ghostwriter and the literary agent. And to be honest, the podcast was to build a base for the book. The book's going to be called Promotion Man. The podcast is called Promotion Man. The website is promotion-man.com because I tried to buy Promotion Man. They wanted $17,000
for that URL. Yeah, I'll call it something else.
So I put the bash in between, and it was $4.95.
That is really cool. So, I mean, I can... When we talk to you, it's almost like thinking in the terms of like Bohemian Rhapsody, and because you had really all the different players and how the record industry used to work, you know, not so long ago in the rearview mirror. And
And I think people are interested in that, Rex. I
mean, sure.
I think people really find that back in the day when I used to come visit you guys and take you to lunch and play you the brand new Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, there was nothing like
that. Before anybody ever heard it, you know. That was so exciting. It was an exciting time to be in the business because, you know, the internet has changed everything. Downloading has changed everything. So this is pre-internet. And when I was on with all the people involved in the film, I asked them for one thing. I said, look, as much as people want to hear about, you know, sex and the drugs, which has certainly had a piece or a role in this,
yeah,
my whole goal here is I want this to be about the backstories of U2 in my car, or Van Halen in my car,
the
time that I had to, I was with Bob Marley. And Bob, when he toured, had a village. There were like 25 people in his band. And he kicked off his 1978 Kaya tour. I'm on the job 6 weeks, guys. I mean, I'm 22. I'm on the job for 6 weeks, and I have Bob Marley in Ann Arbor, Michigan, kicking off his tour.
So that was your first experience with marijuana?
Oh, no.
But I mean, way before
that. I'm a kid from Detroit, you know, with three older sisters. No. So, Bob, here's the skinny. You know how we've all dealt with security guards who have the badge and the uniform, and so they have this power they shouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
So, Bob's crew were smoking so much ganja, it was billowing out from the stage. And this is, you know, before they were letting people in.
Yeah.
And I started getting nervous. It's like, well, you know, what if one of these security guards decides to, you know, really press the issue here?
Yeah.
And I had an older boss named Al Frontera. Bless his heart, he's passed. But he was out of the Cleveland branch. And he came to help me because they knew I was new. And he was getting super nervous. And he goes, look, man, if they bust Bob on our watch in Ann Arbor on the kickoff of this tour, you know, we can't have that. And so there were these oscillating fans behind the backstage against the wall. And I spotted them and I said, Al, you go over there and grab that one and pull it, you know, just to the front behind the left curtains. I'll pull mine to the right, and let's just blow the pot smoke back toward the band.
Let's redirect.
Redirect the pot smoke, because if there's 25 people, how are we, you know, if it's a band of four, you can go say, hey, guys, cut it out.
Oh, my God.
But how are you going to tell a village who ganja is like water or food, it's part of their culture? So that's what Promotion Man's about, is stories like that. And we're releasing an episode a week. So episode number 2 comes out Monday at 6 a.m. Central Time. And episode 1 is up now. And we did a season of 8. And here's the coolest thing that happened for our first season.
Yeah.
I was able to see Alice Cooper in Austin.
I saw your pictures from that. That looked incredible.
Yeah, July 29th. Yeah. So I have a picture on my website of me and Alice 40 years ago when I look like I'm 22.
That incredible.
Right?
Wow.
And Alice is standing next to me. And so when I saw him, he did an interview. So he actually did an interview as our last podcast of the season. And it's amazing the things he told us. And I'd love to share them with you, but I'd much rather you hear him say it in his own words. Because, you know, you look back at the sunset rock and roll bands, Riot, Motley Crue, all of them. And you listen to Alice Feed My Frankenstein, and that there's no question that those, you know, LA sunset rock bands took most of their whole shtick from Alice Cooper. just no question.
Well, I think it's cool the way that you've approached your podcast, and I'm sure the series when that comes out is not from just the drug, sex, rock and roll thing, because that I think has a shelf life of about, you know, as long as an egg timer. You know, it's you've got to.
I agree.
Your stories are just funny. It can't be all about naked rock stars running around and doing too much coke. So this is pretty cool that you're approaching it from such a fun perspective.
You know, thank you, because here's the thing. I want every listener to think about it. Whatever your hobby is, whatever your gift is, when you get a chance to explore it, like the bands did. When I was with, let's say, the Smashing Pumpkins, they knew that they were signed to a major label. They knew that this was their shot. If they didn't handle themselves correctly and give it all they had, they may not get another chance. And U2 felt exactly the same way. Van Halen felt exactly the same way. Pretenders, the Ramones, the Talking Heads. I was with all of those bands in the very, very, very beginning, like the very first tours. And they took it seriously. Like the Ramones. Let's talk about them for a second. I mean, there are so many Ramones t-shirts. I don't care where you travel, what country, you're going to see somebody wearing a Ramones t-shirt. And that band, everyone, you know, kind of thought, is this a novelty band? Is this, you know, this punk thing? You know, what is this? Well, Johnny was the leader, and he was extremely serious. I mean, to the point where he was kind of a, you know, it's a hard ass.
Yeah.
But after, so the band's whole shtick was they would play 42-minute songs back to back. It wouldn't even take, all you'd get is a gabba gabba hey, and they were right back to the next track. And after the show, we'd be in the Holiday Inn, you know, back in our rooms, and we'd all camp out in somebody's room, and Johnny would go over every part of the show and say, Dee Dee, you missed this, you know, you didn't come in on time here. And that's what I want people to hear. I want them to hear those type of stories with real rich texture.
Very cool. He is the promotion man. I'm going to get all of your information so we can share that on our website and let people get a good hard listen to this. Can you hang on a second? I got a break for commercials here. It's Fred Myers, promotion man, and we'll share it all with you here in just a little bit. Two Guys in the Morning on C101. That Fred Myers guy, he's so crazy. Fred, where do you live right now?
Actually, I live in Austin.
That was my radio guy there for a second. That guy, he's so crazy. Because I know you've done interviews and whatnot, and you go, is the guy even listening to me on the other side of the thing? Your stuff to me is incredibly important because it has such a history of really just not being a promotional man, but the fact that you cover, you know, 30 years of where rock and roll was and where it is. And it's amazing to think that a band like, you know, Motley Crue is now referred to as classic rock, as well as like Rush, you know. So we play a little bit of everything over here, but you know, you're never going to make everybody happy. And I'm sure you found the same thing doing promotion, that you just couldn't make every PD across the country happy. Cause you know, it's like, oh, Van Halen's great. And then another, oh, I hate Van Halen. It's like, you know, oh, here's Quarter Flash. She's sweet as a peach. Yeah. Well, everybody don't like peaches. So kind of hard to spread that stuff around, but you seem to do such a great job at that. We want to definitely share your podcast information before we break. Any parting words or a story for us before we have to cut you free?
First of all, thank you for having me. I mean, again, the listeners really need to understand that C101 is a legendary radio station in the music business. Always has been and always will be. And classic rock has now spanned three generations. So if you know your family, your parents, your children that love classic rock, they'll love this podcast. Because, you know, I keep it pretty PG. It gets a little bit R, but it stays pretty PG. And, you know, I think everyone needs to know that this radio station that we're on right now is the one.
It's pretty cool that
you want to be listening to.
You mean I'm not going to hear, you know, 10,000 F-bombs? Because why is it that every single podcast I listen to, it's like the guys that are talking are just like, I can throw the blank word? Well, let me just open the door and pour out the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, it's almost like the F word for the sake of the F word. And it just, you know, the shock value goes away really quickly.
I'm pretty sure we did it twice in 8 episodes. So it was appropriate when we used it.
Look at you. A podcast for children.
Rock and roll children.
Fred Myers, promotion man. I'm going to get some more of your info right here in a second. C101 rocks, but, you know, thanks to guys like Fred Myers, we've been doing it now. How many years is this, Dan?
This is 43 years, man.
Unbelievable.